Good evening, Massimo Candela speaking, and welcome to this meeting. As I think we have anticipated during the last meeting in November 2016, has been an extremely good year. We ended up with the same trend, with the same positive trend. I can say, despite the unusual number of extraordinary projects, we have finalized three acquisitions successfully, and the fourth one was finalized at the end of 2015. So this clearly has absorbed an unusual amount of time, dedication, and so clearly with all this project, sometimes can happen that the ordinary course of business could suffer. In reality, we have had an extremely good year. We have, I would say, done, we have achieved a final growth of a double digit in terms of profitability, in terms of EBITDA. I think we have accomplished our duty not increasing our working capital, so we have had a very good cash generation. The growth of the turnover has been in the high single digit, which is important, and I think that this is a trend now going on for at least 4 or 5 years. In the last couple of years, this trend have been accelerated because I would like to remember everybody that our business is still extremely fragmented, and in the past there was an important percentage of private label. I can say that today both private label and small local player are losing ground against us. So in a market that is, we can say, stable or growing in some areas of the world, like India, like Central and North America, except these countries, we are clearly taking market share. The customers are struggling for their profitability, thus they try to improve their organization, their overhead, so they try to focus on the most important and most reliable player from every point of view. Best brands, best quality, more reliable supplier in terms of service, in terms of financial strength. So clearly our customers are making some strategic decision, and this has gone in our favor. 2017, the macroeconomic scenario is not going to change substantially. The only uncertainty comes from, I would say, the politics or politician environment. As everybody knows, in North America, there is kind of instability. In Turkey, there is instability. So in our business, we forecast a usual year, except for this instability that could come from countries that try to impose duty rate and so on. But for the moment, this is not happening. The trend of gaining market shares continue. Our feeling, despite it's too soon to say what will happen this year, our feeling is that we will continue having a positive growth, even if our target number one this year will be to achieve a substantial part of the synergies we have to build up in the next 2-3 years after the acquisition. And 2017 is a crucial year because we are starting all the extraordinary projects that we have described recently. For the moment, I finished, and of course, I welcome all the Q&A.
Good evening to everybody. Stefano De Rosa speaking. I kindly ask to you to go to page 4 of the presentation that we sent to you, and just to discuss, to have an overview, a detailed overview of the result that Fila Group achieved for fiscal year 2016. As you can see, revenue are equal to 422.6 million, showing an increase equal to 147.3 million, that is 43.5% more than the rate of core business sales of 2015, equal to 275.3 million. Of course, it's important to analyze this growth, mentioning the M&A effect that, as Massimo said, is really material. We have an M&A effect in the revenue equal to 133.3 million due to Redfin for 37 million. Just to remember, Redfin was consolidated in 2015, starting from November, so only for 2 months. Then we have 72.6 million due to Dollar Runway core business sales, and we have 21.4 million related to Canson Group that is consolidated starting from the last quarter, and 1.6 million to Sun Casper acquisition. So all these M&A effect makes 133.3 million. Another effect that is important is the FX effect, the Forex exchange effect, that is equal to negative 11.8 million. As we already seen during the last 6 months, this effect is mainly due to the South American currency, and we have an effect of 7 million in the Mexican pesos and 3 million in Argentinian pesos. Neutralizing the increase of these two effects, M&A and FX effect, the organic growth is equal to 25.7 million of euro. That makes plus 9.3% compared to the previous year. So the strong single digit increase that Massimo mentioned before. The growth is mainly concentrated in South America for 10.5 million, mainly due to Mexico, but also Chile, Argentina has had a good growth. Then for 6.9 million, the growth is concentrated in Europe, Fila for 4 million, but it's important to mention that also the new commercial subsidiary as Russia, Greece, and Poland shown a good increase of sales compared to the previous year. Then North America show an increase equal to 3.9 million. Of course, is totally referred to USA. And Asia, an increase of 3.8 million due to India mainly, but also to for a little part to China and Indonesia. As we have seen also in all the year, this organic increase, if we analyze by the product line, is mainly concentrated in the creative instrument for 15.5 million. In particular, I refer to glue, to paints, to modeling clay, to art markers. Then for 6.5 million, the growth is referred to pencil, colored or graphite pencil, but also an important part of fine art pencil. And I'm talking mainly to USA as country, Argentina, Russia, and Polonia. And the growth in the office industrial product is equal to 3.7 million. It is mainly referred to industrial product, but also synthetic pens that show in Fila a growth compared to the previous year. If we go to page 5, we can analyze the growth of EBITDA. The EBITDA 2016 is equal to normalized to 67.2 million that compared to 47.6 million show an increase of more or less 20 million compared to the previous year. Of course, also for the EBITDA, it's important to analyze this increase mentioned in the M&A effect and the FX effect. The M&A effect is equal to 14.7, more or less 50 million of euros, mainly refer to India for 5.6 million, 7.8 million to Dalian Rani, 0.7 million to Canson Group and 0.6 million to Sun Carbon. So totaling more or less 50 million. The FX effect is equal to 1.1 million negative. Is current to the effect that we already seen in September, is mainly due to a double effect. While in the revenue, the Mexican peso play alone, here we have a compensating effect between the Mexican peso and the renminbi, because we had a devaluation of 17% for the Mexican peso, but a revaluation of the renminbi of 4% and for an effect of 0.5 positive. So the double effect between the Mexican pesos and the renminbi made a total effect of 1.1 million negative on EBITDA. That is always between the effect of the FX effect is always between 1.5-2% of the total EBITDA. So neutralizing these two M&A effect and FX effect for the 20 million growth compared to the previous year, the organic growth is 6.1 million. That makes 12.8% of increase compared to 2015. The growth of the EBITDA is more than proportional of the growth of the revenue, because we have an operating leverage between 35-40%, more or less. And it's important to point that the incidence of the EBITDA of the core business sales is as shown is 15.9%, but this 15.9% include of course the effect of the consolidation of India, of Dalian Rani and the Canson Group, and this create a dilution of effect on the EBITDA margin, incidence of the core business sales, and without this effect of India, Dalian Rani, and Canson Group, is important to point that the incidence of EBITDA will be equal to 17.84%. That is better compared to the incidence that we had in 2015, that was equal to 17.3%. This improvement of this, let's say, organic incidence of EBITDA on core business sales is due to the reason that in 2015 we had more than 2 million of air freight cost just to deliver to the customer in time, that we didn't have this year. And then also, of course, is due to a more efficient efficiency in the production, in particular in the China plant and the German plant. The extraordinary item are equal to 10.4 million. These extraordinary items are referred mainly for approx 7.5 million to the all the consultancy fee that we have to pay for the M&A project, Canson, Dalian, Sun Carbon, and for, let's say, approx 2 million, these extraordinary expenses are referred to the restructuring costs that we are facing in France and we faced in the USA for the restructuring of the Dalian subsidiary in USA and the Canson company in France. If we go to page six, we can analyze the increase of the net income, and the net income is equal in 2016 to 28.2 million of euro, show an increase of 3.4 million compared to the previous year. In this case, it's important to mention that of course the increase in the net income is less than the increase in the EBITDA because we have all the effects of the amortization due to the new company, Dalara and Canson, and also India. India because we have an amortization intangible coming from the purchase price allocation process that we had the previous year. So we have a strong effect of amortization. And also we have more interest compared to previous year due to the acquisition financing. It's important to mention that for tax, we have a better tax rate compared to previous year because we are more or less approx 26% of tax rate compared to the less than 30% that we had the previous year. This is due to the ACE effect and to the utilization of the carry forward losses that we accumulate for the market warrant evaluation. Let's go to the analysis of the net financial position. The net financial position is equal to 223.4 million negative, showing a change compared the net financial position the previous year equal to 184.7 million. Of course, it's important to separate the M&A effect, because we have 204 million M&A effect that can be divided in the acquisition of the share and the consolidation, the negative net financial position, the company that we acquired. So if we separate this effect from the total value the net financial position, the net financial position is equal to should be equal to 18.6 million. That is an improvement compared to the previous year of 20 million. 20 million that are fully explained in the generation, the operating cash flow that is 40 million positive. Then we have CapEx for 12 million. Interest pay for 5.8 million and dividend pay for 4.5 million and an FX effect positive of 1.1 million. All these assets together make a cash generation improving NFP equal to 20 million. This improvement is also due to an improvement of EBITDA cash conversion last year due to the step-up process that we have in the inventory, in the working capital. The EBITDA cash conversion in 2015 was equal to 40% approx, while this year we closed with an EBITDA conversion near 19%. We think that we are open to any question.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star one on their touchtone telephone. The first question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about CapEx. So basically, you spoke in the press release of increase in investments for 2017. I would like to better understand the total CapEx for this year after circa 12 million of CapEx in 2016. This is my first question. My second question is about if you could give us a sort of update on the current top line trend at same perimeter that you are making in these first months. Then I have a question about the integration process of Canson and Daler, if you could give us more information about that. And finally, on the tax rate, the reported tax rate seemed 37%. I would like to see what kind of normalized tax rate we have to expect for 2017. Thank you.
Stefano, can you answer question number one and question number four, please?
One four is the tax and one is the capex.
Yes,
maybe if I can ask Massimo, I can answer if you want. So maybe about the tax, there is a big normalization due to the market warrant effect. That after the exercise of market warrant, there was a release of 26 million of in the direct in the equity, and so because the losses coming from the market warrant we deducted these losses also for the base of the. Imponibile, the tax, you have to calculate these 26 million that is not expressed in the P&L. And so you can understand why from the reporting, the reported base, the tax rate, the real tax rate go down to 26% because you have to add to the base for the calculation of tax these 26 million that went directly to equity, but that are taxable because we deduct the loss coming from the market warrants 2015. About the capex, we have this year I think a good level of investment 2016 because also in India we had a strong investment. Next year we will have investment of capex of let's say. More or less 50 million of capex is mainly this is due part, little part from the ERP, of course, investment is not a big part, but the biggest part comes from the investment that we are doing in France for the extension of the warehouse.
The central European warehouse that is part of significant savings because we are going to shut down four warehouses along continental Europe and also this will have a strong impact in the working capital because we are going to supply the continental Europe only from France. Of course, as we are building up this warehouse, which in reality is an extension of the existing one, clearly these investments are extraordinary, both SAP system and the central warehouse are extraordinary investments. Concerning question number two and number three, the normal course of business for us today, I would love to have a number, but fortunately or unfortunately, the reality is that we have more than 90% of the customers in common between Fila, Canson and Daler. So even if I try to find the statistics by customer or by country, unfortunately, today all the three companies now have been, for example, in the United States have been merged. So there is not anymore a statistic that say previous numbers of Fila this year. We have a customer that buy today Canson and Daler. So I think this is good because it shows that we took a good decision because we have a perfect overlap. Because if I would have a different customer, it means that my
strategic hypotheses were not completely correct. Unfortunately, it's extremely difficult for me, but I can make you a lot of examples. Walmart. Walmart is a customer that for Fila was $20 million, with Campson and Deller will go up to $60 million. It's impossible to say how much we are doing with them. I mean, it would be an unbelievable amount of job. What I can tell you is that the normal course of business in this moment doesn't show any significant comment that makes sense to do. So the business is doing as expected on a regular basis. The consumption is, as always, positive. Remember that this is probably the good side of our business, and at the same time, probably is the bad side. I mean, the bad side is that it's not so sexy to grow double digit. But the good side is that when you have difficult environment or whatever kind of problem, our business it's very reliable and very stable. Inside this stability, the discussion we are having with our customers show us that we continue taking market share from the competition. So I think that especially because we are in the middle of March, just to give you an important information, we have not yet started the back-to-school campaign, which count for almost 60-70% of our sales in the station, in the former Fila business. Because if you recall the seasonality of Campson and Deller is a little bit later, comes one quarter later. But Fila will enter in the back to school this week. So it's really, really too early to say anything, except that we feel positive that we are going to show a growth, a single digit growth, on a conservative way, I would say in the low single digit, but as we are claiming since always,
okay.
We continue with our strategy. The integration, I think here I can say a little bit more because what I'm going to say is in the positive direction. We had in mind substantial synergies, and if you recall, we have highlighted synergies because we will shut down a plant, synergies because we are going to have a central warehouse, synergies because we are reducing overlap in administration, in sales, sometimes even in marketing and so on. So this is happening as we have budgeted or as expected, I would say. There are no surprises. So from the cost point of view, we are satisfied that we are going to reach what we have in mind. From the sales point of view, I have to describe two situations. The first line, we are going to clean a lot the offer, so probably the top line will not grow too much, especially in short term, because in short term we cannot build up immediately the commercial synergies, because we are still working with customers to change the name as a supplier. We are still changing the SKU numbers, so we are changing prices, so there is a lot of bureaucracy going on, so the commercial synergies will come. What we find is that we are able, with our current presence in the market, we are able to definitely improve the average margin of our offer. This is not anymore an hypothesis. This starts to be a reality because we work better. because the customer feel we are a more serious partner. We can guarantee a more stability in the market, a more consistent offer. So when we explain that we have to improve our commercial offer and we have to sustain the level of price, we generally receive a positive feedback. Sometimes we need to struggle a little bit, but we are going to improve the average margin of the two companies that we have acquired.
Okay. Many thanks. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. The next question is from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita.
Take the opportunity for a follow-up on some points you stated about some additional D&A this year, depreciation amortization coming from PPA. I would like to know the number in terms of PPA that you booked in depreciation amortization. And finally, I would like to better understand that on the CapEx side, 50 million for 2017 is a sort of extraordinary high level, and then we have to think about some slowdown over the next years. Thank you.
About the normal CapEx level, I think that of course will decrease in the future year based on this assumption, because as we mentioned before, this year we have the extension of the warehouse and the DNA project, that's the ERP project that together makes of course an increase of this cash out for CapEx. So I think that the good normalized level of CapEx is around 12 million.
Okay.
And we have a very strong impact in intangible. We have an impact coming from the PPA process, because we booked, as you can see from the balance sheet compared to 2015, we booked a lot of intangible with a definitive useful life, that I'm talking about trademarks, know-how, and coming from the PPA process. And just to give you an idea, we have more or less 70 million, but we already had, because we booked in the second quarter, 70 million intangible for Dahler. We have 35 million of intangible for Canson. We have a goodwill around 30 million for Canson, that of course is not under amortization, but create an increase of intangible. So we trademark and this intangible has a long period of depreciation, so we will have an increase of depreciation compared this year. We already had, as I mentioned, this year for the PPA process coming from India, made in 2015. So more or less, the value of depreciation amortization should be around 40 million.
Four million for PPA. Okay, 4 million. Okay, thank you.
Four point five million.
Okay, coming from PPA amortization in total out of your DNA that are around 50 million. Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. There are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, I think that if there are no other questions, we can thank everybody. And a good evening. And thanks for your attention.
Thanks a lot.
Goodbye.